Chapter 4, Line Up and Wait. Oh my goodness, aren't we important? Come on, aren't we important? We are so important. And it is true, we are important. We are very important. We are important to God. We are a priority to God. Each one of us is his number one priority. Each one of us is his number one priority. We are very important because of God. Chapter 4, Line Up and Wait. I think I'm going to start all the time saying this is the most important chapter in the book. I think I'll do that with everyone. Good morning, everybody. Chapter 4, Line Up and Wait, the most important. And then I think I'll do it with chapter 5 and chapter 6. The most important, my favorite chapter. I think I'll say that every time. Right? The most important, my favorite chapter for Line Up and Wait. I'll just start saying that with every one of them. They're all so important. And are you important? Don't let anybody tell you you're not. You are important, very, very important, and you have a lot of responsibility. So says the Lord, given to you by God. What's our job? Our job is to learn how to use it, to learn how to be important, to learn how to be fiduciaries, right? To learn how to dig what God has done for us and let him use us with the gifts he has given us. Woo, doggy. Not learn how to use the gifts as we see fit. That's a hard one, man. Chapter 4, Line Up and Wait, my favorite chapter, the most important one, right? It is important to remember that God is in charge. Even when you're qualified to do the job, you are ready and the opportunity is before you. He is still, keep in mind, God prepared you, made you what you are, and will use you in the correct time. If you go too soon or too late, not as good. You sort of miss the window, right? Impatient or fearful is not necessary when working with God. However, employing impatience or fear can cause great, great, great harm. Sin is an interruption on course to a destiny. Sin interrupts us and our course to destiny. In sin, we can miss everything we have prepared for. Psalm 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This is a guy I want to work for. This is the guy I want to work for. Definitely words to consider when you've got that feeling to move right now because you might miss something if you don't, right? Words to consider, be still and know that I'm God. Or, you know those times when your prayer is answered and you feel it's just too much? It's just too much of this or that, so you go for something better perhaps. Not good. Not good. Maybe you'll miss a stepping stone or use the blessing for something different entirely. Something other than what was prayed for or prepared for in you. Suddenly you are deciding what to do with the blessings that God has given you. That is why I wrote this chapter for me so many years ago, to line up and wait for him. Crazy. Let's have a simple example. I pray for the down payment of a house. I get the money and buy something else. Sounds rather disrespectful or disobedient. Doesn't sound correct, does it? Come on. Come on. What if I ask my dad for a car because I want to go to work? So he gives me a car, and instead of going to work, I go on vacation and lose my job, right? But I keep saying, I have to know what God made in the world. I come up with some silly reason, right? Secondly, as the title says, chapter 4, Line Up and Wait, when given a good idea, take the time to do it right. I shouldn't have said secondly there. I mean, just as a matter of fact, as the title says, chapter 4, Line Up and Wait. When you get a good idea, take the time to do it right, leaving room for God to work and prepare you so that when it's time to go, the job is done well and correctly. In his holy name, better than our best, and in the original blueprint he has made for us, and most importantly, right on time. Remember the rule of doing better than best for God, better than best. Doing better than your best is the least you can do for God, who has given you so much. However, I did realize in my youth that I can't do better than my personal best without God. It's just not possible. Oh, I can do my best. My very, very, very best thinking got me in a whole lot of trouble, didn't it? And it was my very, very best thinking. So clearly, my best thinking may not be better than my best. You see, without God, all I will ever do is my very best. One big mess after the next is my very best. Perhaps you can identify with what I'm saying. The hardest part is waiting on God, though, isn't it? After he's prepared me, especially. I'm impatient before I'm even ready to go. Can you imagine how impatient I am when I'm prepared? Now I'm ready, man. I'm prepared. I want to go, like now. Turn me loose. Remember that song by Loverboy? Turn me loose. Turn me loose. Well, it's probably inappropriate here, but just because I'm ready to fly doesn't mean air traffic control has cleared me for takeoff. Get it? They haven't given me permission to go. What happens if I take off without permission? I can get all kinds of trouble, right? I can hit another airplane. What if you have been prepared to prepare others? What about that? What if your preparation has been prepared to prepare others? Best you teach discernment to them, not impatience. Teach discernment in the word and patience in the waiting of God's purpose. Let me tell you a little story about a guy named David. King David, 1 Chronicles 17, 3 through 6. But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" You see, that scripture is in response to David decided he wanted to build God a house. Well, God never asked him for that. You see, David was living pretty well, right? King David was doing pretty good. He'd always been doing good. God was with him, just like you and me. God is with you. You were living pretty good. David wanted to do something for the Lord. And the Lord said, "Hey, I'm good. You get back to doing what I have for you." You get back to the list, man. He said that. That's what scripture said. Did I ever ask anybody to build me a house of cedar? Well, David still wanted to do that. But, and God loved him for that. But he didn't need it. So 1 Chronicles 17, 7 through 10. "Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took from you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep to being a ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Also, I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house." Get that. He's saying, "Didn't I always take care of you, pal? Didn't I bring you up from nothing? So I don't need anything out of you. I'm going to build you a house." Oh, whoa. Can you believe what he said? David said, "I'd like to build you a house." He says, "No, sit down. I'm going to build you a house." Oh, wow, whoa, whoa. God reminded David that he had been with him all of his life directing, and today would be no different. He'd been with him all of his life directing, and today would be no different. David wanted to build God a temple. Thank you, David, but no thanks. Thank you, David, but no thanks. Let me build you a house instead. Wow. Wow. Is that the God we work for? This was a greater promise than David's offer to God because David's house would last longer and be more glorious than the temple David wanted to build. What God made in David went on generation after generation after generation after generation. The house of David has gone from king to king, generation to generation. We are still in the lineage of David. It's amazing. If you want to know how that happens, Pastor Rick can tell you. The lineage of the house of David has gone on forever. Could David have done that for God? No, the temple that was built is long gone. Long gone. But aren't we the same? We think so much of ourselves that maybe we should now do something for God. Well, I wish we thought that more often than not. This example is kind of the high bar, right? It's the kind of the high bar. David really wanted to do something. I wish we would think about what to do for God more often. What can I do for you, God? Well, he'll tell you. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. And I'll tell you what it is. He wants, as if, by the way, when I say, can I do something for you, God, as if I could do anything other than what? Be obedient, right? That's what he cares about, to be obedient. By the way, in the end, David's son built the temple, right? Solomon built the temple. But guess what? David, in his lifetime, prepared all the building materials to do the job. All the fine metals and wood to do the job. Then David died. That was David's part. That was David's part. God let him build the temple. Solomon got the credit, but David put the materials together before he died, waiting for God's perfect timing to do what he wanted to do for his purpose. That's what I'm talking about here in chapter 4. Line up and wait. Well, God must have had something else for David to do because he died. He went to heaven. He went with God. We are all impatient. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that we're preparing anything. We want to be the man, the myth, the legend, the girl, the myth, the legend. We want to do all that, and we want to do it right now. Or then we get super fearful and we decide not to do it because it wasn't exactly set up the way we want to do it. Wow, aren't we kind of confusing? We're confounding. We must be confounding for the Lord. He must look down here and go, oh, my heavens to Murgatroyd, could you just do what I tell you to do? We are all impatient and we want stuff right now. Come on, that's why we have companies, houses, cars, lives. Wanting things is a part of humankind. Needing things is a little more difficult. I need God. I almost want God as a byproduct, but I needed God long before I wanted God, right? Come on, you know what I mean. Balance is a big part of what we need versus what we want. Now that we understand that we need God, we want God. Now that we understand that, now that all of us understand that, now it's about balance. What we need versus what we want, how to be discerning about that. However, chapter 4, line up and wait, is probably very challenging, if not the most challenging, of the 50 chapters we study. Patience is the key. In Genesis 16, I believe the Bible tells the story of Abraham and Sarah getting up in the years. Abraham, come on, everybody knows who Abraham was. Abraham was the man, the myth, the legend, that's for sure. He was God, that's where it all started, Abraham and God, right? And God had promised a son, and Sarah was barren. God had promised Abraham a son, and his wife was barren. Wow, even Abraham doubting God. He doubted God and had relations with the maid, Hagar. Oh, wow, really? Even Abraham, like we kind of see him as the top of the heap, right? Well, he had relationship with Hagar. And his wife had kind of approved it. It was crazy. They doubted God. So Hagar, the maid, gets pregnant. And Ishmael was born. And all hell broke loose. Oh, yeah. Sarah kicked out the maid. And the descendants of Ishmael, are the major players in the Middle East crisis to this day. All part of the 12 tribes of Egypt. Not the 12 tribes of Israel, Egypt, that stand against Israel. True story. Scripture talks about Ishmael. God said of Ishmael, Genesis 16, 12, he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. He's the father of the nations that stand against all of Israel right now. Genesis 17, 20, but as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation that stands against Israel. That is what happened when Abraham disobeyed, and God let him do it. I am reminded in this story, not waiting on God can have catastrophic results. By the way, did Sarah have a child finally? Yes. Abraham was about 100. and she was about 80, and believe it or not, she got pregnant and had Isaac. Big name in the Bible here, right? And I am reminded, God comes through. He comes through, but we get impatient. And if we get impatient and act, it can have catastrophic results. At an airport, not all the planes take off at once, like I said. They don't take off when they feel like it. There's a tower and air traffic control. Lots of equipment and lives are at stake. You can't just take off into the air in the middle of LAX. In the same way, God orchestrates your flight path from beginning through eternity. It takes time, however, for God to move the world around you. Get it? He's not just moving you around. He's moving the whole world around you so you're safe in your journey. But you get impatient and throw yourself out there and hurt everybody, including yourself. I do the same thing. Or you don't go. You don't think it's right or something, you know. If you become impatient one way or another, not to do or to do, and you could find yourself in grave danger or simply lacking in what could have been a tremendous opportunity had you just waited. By the way, in case you're wondering, some people seem to be more blessed than others. Come on. C.S. Lewis said, "He who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only." God loves us all. If we would just do what he says. Let's have an example of line up and wait. The concept itself. I call it the God spark. The idea of God giving you direction, I call it. The big idea. And then to execute the big idea is, for me, age before beauty. That's this whole line up and wait is an age before beauty lesson for me. A good anything must age a bit before it's beautiful. You got to put in the time. Same with preparation and talent. When I'm devising a plan, it requires thought and patience. I could have a really good plan, but if I don't do it right, what's it worth, right? The more I work on it, the better it becomes. The more I prepare in my company, the better. There is a time for everything. There's another great story in the Bible. Mordecai said it best in the book of Esther as he spoke to Esther, who had just become queen. And as a Jew, it was incumbent on her to tell the king in this story that there was a plot to destroy the Jews. But the part that was important is it was a plot that the king himself was being used as a pawn by the bad guy Haman, right? He was being used as a pawn, but she was afraid to say anything. She wasn't going to do it. And timing is everything in this, right? Timing was everything. The Jews, long story short, were about to be destroyed. Oh, yeah. It was bad. Yeah. Kind of like later on, we have that in history and World War II. Terrible stuff, right? But she had the power here to tell the king. But she was afraid. Because as a Jew, she might herself be in danger. What if the king was really for it? But Mordecai spoke up. Mordecai was inspired by God to speak up. He didn't wait. He spoke up. Esther was waiting, right? Whoa, whoa, I don't know if I need to go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And Mordecai was moving forward on time. Esther 4:14. If you keep quiet, he tells the queen, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? Perhaps you were put, you know what that's saying? You know how cool that is? Perhaps you were put in authority right now for just such a time as this. For you and for me, perhaps you were given everything you were given for such the perfect time as this by God. So will you know when God says go? Of course. Especially if you have a relationship with him. That's key. You got to have a relationship with him. The word, prayer, talking, the studying, not just reading the word. Anybody can read the word. You got to read, understand, study, look up things, kind of understand what he's saying. You'll know it's definitely time to move. You will be convicted, as was Mordecai in the telling of Esther. And she listened. He was moved by God and she listened. You know why I like the book of Esther? God is never mentioned in it, and he's all over it. You know what I mean? God was never mentioned in the whole book, and he's all over it, you know, but not by name. But he's manipulating and working everything for the good of those he loves, for the Jews, his chosen people. And the bad guy got his in the end. Not so good. but it was all orchestrated by God. His name was never mentioned. God, I promise, will speak to you, whether it's from a Mordecai or in your heart, the conviction that you have with him in your prayers, in your day, you will know the time. He will not let you fail. We are always worried about missing the window of opportunity or waiting too long or too short. I quote C.S. Lewis again. If we let ourselves, we shall always be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we can really get down to our work. The only people who achieve much are those who want knowledge so badly that they seek it while the conditions are still unfavorable. Favorable conditions never come. It's never the right time unless God puts you there. Seek him. It says right here, knowledge, those who want knowledge. Where's all knowledge come from? God, seek him. I've learned over the years with God, do what's on the list today. Do what's on the list today. Things occur to you today because you're just doing the list. The list he gave you, taking care of what's in the barn right now, so to speak. Do the hard work. Do the hard work that's on the list, not just the easy stuff. Don't distract yourself with the next shiny object or worse, take matters into your own hands. Seek guidance. Seek knowledge. Seek wisdom. Seek God. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time. In today's society, if you deliver your product too soon without quality control, you might create more problems, right? Quality control is a really important part of the process. If you're not patient while training people, they will fail you. If you put them out there too quick, they'll fail you, right? If you borrow money from a bank before you collect receivables, you will cost yourself interest penalties, more money, headaches, possibly your entire profit margin. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Now, quick-tempered doesn't mean just getting mad. Temperament is like, no, I want to do this now. I got to do it now. Sure, there is conviction with God. I swear there is. Sometimes God says, stop right now, back up. And you got to listen, man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I need to do it now. I've been prepped. I'm going. I'm going to make it happen today. Cut it out. Or I prayed, and this is the way it came. It ain't right. I'm going to wait for a better son. Oh, baloney. We get crazy in our head, right? There is a right time. Not too soon, not too late. Perfect timing, and perfect timing is God. Let him be God. Let him be God. Look, let him be God. Because there is a God and you're not it. Lucky you. He loves you like you were the only one. It says so in Scripture. I didn't make it up. I'm just telling you what it says. Be patient, kids. Tend to the God spark he has given you, the ideas he has given you. Now tend to them. Work them, work them, work them. It will be completely clear to you when it's time to go. When you're ready, you've prepared, and you're truly ready, let him place you on the front line and then wait. Wait, wait for his order before the attack. Wait for his order. How do you know? You will know. He, God, will make sure of it. Trust him. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Psalms 38:32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Trust him. Trust him. Kids, chapter 4, line up and wait. Line up and wait for the Lord. My favorite chapter, the most important one. Chapter 4, line up and wait for the Lord. Amen, amen. John, let's get to work.